Hi everyone, you know me, I'm Laura. Thank you for welcoming me here and allowing me to share with you how God's been speaking to me through this passage. So I just wanted to start actually with a story. Somewhat recently, I was in a conversation with a friend. And in that conversation, you know, we were just passively talking about life. And in that conversation, she referred to me as a baby Christian. And, you know, I really didn't think much of it at the time. I just kind of agreed with her and said, yeah, you know, I am new to the faith. I still have a lot to learn. And, you know, I'm doing my best to follow God and everything. And I didn't think much of it, went on with our conversation, went on with life. And then I started to notice over the next like week or two, I started experiencing all sorts of old feelings, like feelings of doubt, shame, overthinking, just really getting in my head again. And all at the same time, I had also recently felt God put a calling on my life to start discipling other women and try to help them to realize God's truth in their lives and to, you know, free them from lies that in ways that I have been helped by others. And so with this overthinking, I just started to think, man, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I haven't been doing this long enough. Maybe I can't be used by God. Maybe I'm unworthy. I don't have wisdom and insight to share. And I just started getting really down on myself. And in reflecting, God brought me back to that conversation with this friend of mine. And I realized what happened was when she referred to me as a baby Christian, I agreed with her. And not that it's not okay to be new in the faith, but I agreed with her in a self-doubt type of way. And it just kind of opened up the door, cracked the door for the enemy to just step right in and then just use that against me and all the worst ways to just convince me that, yeah, you are not equipped enough. You cannot do this. You should not do this. And it just made me realize in that moment how subtle lies can feel and be and how easily they can come into our lives without us being aware of it. And it just highlighted the importance to me of really taking inventory of your thoughts and examining them for the source behind it, the spirit behind it, so that we can constantly be affirmed in God's truth and not Satan's lies. And so going from there, let's read verse 1. It says, or my version says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So, the passage just opens up with a very clear and direct warning that we must examine all people, thoughts, ideas, just all sources for truth and deception. And this is to protect ourselves and to guard our hearts. And it also signals a need to guard ourselves from these lies. And we are called to use the discernment that God's given us, not only for ourselves, but also for others. When we can catch these lies as they're coming in, or maybe you're talking to a friend and you hear the words coming out of their mouth and you as an outsider realize that this is not truth, that they're speaking into their lives, that they're living their lives under bondage and lies of the enemy, that empowers you to be able to better pray for them, intercede for them, speak truth into them. So You know, living in God's truth is not only for us, it's also for our brothers and sisters. And in the passage, it talks about false prophets. There's all sorts of examples of false prophets. You know, there is the obvious, maybe someone claiming to be a prophet or claiming to share the word of God, but it contradicts everything that God is about and his truth. But some other examples of false prophets is just anything that influences you away from the truth of God. And that could be the world, the opinions of the world, and the opinions of people around you and the examples of how they're living their life. And it could be Satan, and his voice. It could also be our flesh, the things that we want, the things that feel important to us, don't always align with God's will and God's truth either. So we do live in a physical world, but above all, we live in a spiritual world. And the spirit world and all of these influences, they're all competing for your attention. And so it's super important to be alert and to ground yourself in God's truth and to use the discernment that he's given you to make sure you're living in his truth. So now that we've kind of talked about why we need to be using this discernment and making sure that we're living in God's truth, we'll talk a little bit about how we do that. So if we read verses 2-3, it says, "This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Even now it is already in the world." So it's pretty simple. Sometimes it can be complicated. Satan likes to confuse us. But every spirit behind a person, a thought, an idea you have that agrees with Jesus, his existence, that he came here in the flesh, died for our sins, and freed us from the effects of sin. So anything that agrees with Jesus, his existence, and his truth is from God. Every spirit that deviates from that, even slightly, even if it's a half-truth, is not from God. So in order to know what's truth, you know, we need to look at the resources that we're given. So truth is anything that aligns with Scripture. Our Bible is a huge source of truth for us. And anything that aligns with the gospel, again, Jesus' existence, his purpose for being here. And then anything that aligns with God's character. We know God's character, how he loves us, all the good he wants for us. And then we are called to disregard and rebuke anything that contradicts any of that. And as I said in the beginning with my story, deception can be subtle. It can be hard to notice at face value. Satan can be very sneaky. He's not always going to announce himself and what he's trying to do in your life. And it even says in 2 Corinthians that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light sometimes. Sometimes, you know, lies can look appealing. And so when we're talking about distinguishing between the spirits and testing the spirits, we can also see certain characteristics of those spirits. So with God, when God is talking to you, or usually his voice and his presence on you, it comes with things like a feeling of peace, direction, love, encouragement, and clarity. So, you know, God isn't going to show up and just throw a bunch of baggage on you or tell you everything you're doing wrong and then just step back God doesn't do that. God might show you some areas where maybe you want to grow, may convict you, but his voice always comes with clarity and direction and what's next and what do you do next. Satan, on the other hand, when he talks to you, his job is to accuse, confuse, cause doubt, distract, and tempt you. What I described before, that's how Satan talks to you. He wants to tell you how much you're failing and how there's no way out. But remember, God always shows us a way out. And so I just wanted to talk about a couple years ago, I fell into some deceptive ways of thinking. I fell into some new age way of thinking, not like crystals and whatnot, but just the type of thinking that really centers everything on the self. I had a well-meaning friend of mine a couple years ago. This is actually before I came to know Christ. And she was all about inner healing, your personal truth, and living a way that aligns yourself with yourself. And so I just really took a page out of her book and took her example and tried that way of living on for myself. And because it sounds great, right? It sounds great. And so I started living my own way, meditating and thinking, okay, what can I do for myself, and how can I honor myself, and what's my truth? And I spent the next period of time just designing that. And at first it was liberating. It really felt liberating. It felt like, because I was a people pleaser, it drew me away from pleasing other people, but it put me right into just pleasing myself. So it felt great for a while, but then ultimately it just created a super meaningless and empty existence in myself. I reached the end of myself. I fell into a deep depression, and that's actually what prompted me to reach for Jesus and his truth. For the first time, I just realized I could not be the source of everything for myself. I needed, you know, my heavenly source. And because we're not meant to follow the desires of our flesh, we're made to follow Jesus and his truth and not ours. And I'm just so thankful that the burden is not on me to figure out what truth is. We just get to follow Jesus and his perfect example. So the next part, I wanted to read verses 4-6. It says, "You are from God, little children. You have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception." So this is my favorite part of this section. This is the best part because it's encouragement and it's reassuring us of who we are because of who God is and what we're capable of through him. So God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. This is our ultimate teacher and how we access his truth. Not by the opinions of the world, not by what everyone else is doing around you in your life, not by well-meaning friends who are telling you what their truth is. So notice how in this we're referred to as little children. That really stuck out at me because we're not expected to face any of this alone or figure any of this out on our own. It shows our need of a father and of his direction. And I also noticed how it says the word conquered, and you have conquered them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So we just need to remember that we fight from a place from victory, not for victory. Jesus has already won, and he's placed his spirit inside of us. So this is our help. This is our help in discerning truth and lies. So we are given the help that we need. It also says they are from the world. To me, this just highlights, don't compare yourself to other people. Don't worry about pleasing other people. We want to please the Lord. It's okay to be set apart. It's okay to be misunderstood by people. It's okay to live your life differently when you're living it for Christ. And then it also says, we are from God. So this is just a reminder to remember your identity in Christ and his truth. And the truth is that you've already gained freedom from the power of sin, fear, and death through his sacrifice. And you've been loved and made whole. And that's the truth that he wants you to know. And that's the truth he wants you to live under. Not this truth, you know, like at the beginning of the story, of feeling unworthy, feeling incapable, feeling unequipped. That is not the truth. God has equipped every believer, every single person who's accepted Christ has been given the Holy Spirit. So he's equipped us with discernment by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our life source. So we really need to tend to it to make sure that it's the strongest it can be. Ways to do this is Bible, reading your Bible, just bathing yourself in God's truth, really embedding it in your heart so that you can call on it in times of need. Fasting is another way to grow closer with God and to deepen your connection to the Holy Spirit so that it's there and ready to use when you need it. Another way to keep this connection strong is fellowship. It's that can look like a lot of things. It's coming to church here. It's doing Bible studies. It's discipling other people and being discipled. You know, when we gather two or three or more, God is with us, and so he wants us to connect and come together and build one another up. I used to really struggle with a lot of these inner thoughts and overthinking, and wrestled with all of these lies in my life. And Meredith took the time to really invest in me for months of reaffirming the truth over my life, helping me to renounce lies and surrender baggage. And it just had such an incredible effect on my life, someone taking the time to do that and walking me through it. That's what inspired me to want to do this for other people as well. So it makes sense that Satan was wanting to get in there and create a lot of doubt in me to stop me from helping others in the way that I have been helped. So if Satan can keep you distracted or in bondage, he can keep you from being an effective tool in God's kingdom. So what if I just went on believing that I was a baby Christian, too inexperienced to be used by God? It would have really limited both myself and God's purpose in me and through me to just remain in that lie. And, you know, Satan wanted to convince me to be humble. To be humble. You're really not that good. You know, it's like this is what I'm talking about with things being twisted, or good traits like humility, but being twisted in ways that don't serve God. So I'm hoping this inspires people to really just take thoughts and ideas and their inner thoughts as they come, and to examine them and to make sure that they're coming from a spirit of truth. So a way that I did this is I created a handout. I put together like a tool to try to help people actually walk through this process. And I'll just read the top here. It says, how to stop lies and take them captive. This simple tool is designed to help us recognize and resist lies before they take root in our hearts. By naming what we feel, identifying the lie, surrendering it to God, and replacing it with His truth, we build up discernment that protects our minds and hearts in the way God intends for us. So I kind of came up with an acronym to help us with what I feel are the most important steps of taking lies captive and renouncing them and living in God's truth. So the acronym is STOP. The very first step is say the feelings. So whatever you're feeling, you know, we all know what it feels like to have negative feelings. This brings them to light and allows God in to show you His truth. It brings everything to the surface. So say the feelings, and then the next step is trap the lie. This is isolating the lie that you're hearing. And, you know, I personally feel that Satan's desire is always embedded in the lie that he's telling you. Just like for me, trying to stop me from helping to spread God's truth and love to others. The next step is offer surrender. This, I feel, is one of the most powerful steps that you could practice. Once you've identified the lie, it's very important to surrender it to God. Give it to God. He will be faithful in taking it from you. He promises that. And then that makes space in our lives for His truth, which is the next step. Practice truth. And this can look like a lot of different ways. It can look like leaning on what you know about God's character to combat the lie. It can look like recalling a piece of scripture or looking up scripture to combat the lie. And it's very important that even if your flesh or the enemy resists you practicing this truth or leaning into this truth, it's super important to just try to push through. God will strengthen you and you'll be better off, and you'll build up this discernment, and it will become easier and more second nature. So I'll read one of these examples. So maybe I'll read the example too, because that's the one that kind of applies to the story that I gave. So number one, say the feelings. I feel discouraged and not good enough compared to others. Trap the lie. The lie I'm believing is I'll never measure up and God can't really use me. Offer surrender. Lord, I surrender this shame and unworthiness. I don't want to live under it anymore. Help me to know my worth in you. And then practice truth. God, this is a piece of scripture. God says, I am His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So this is showing that, yes, God can use you. He wants to use you. It doesn't say no baby Christians allowed. It doesn't say that you have to wait until you've been a Christian for a certain amount of time before you're leveled up or worthy of being used. It doesn't say any of that. We know that when we believe in Jesus, we are immediately a new creation and we are capable of being used by God. So I hope this tool can be helpful for people. You could keep it, if you find it helpful, you could keep it in your Bible, you could keep it in your car, anywhere that just reminds you to be really analyzing the information you're getting. testing the spirits behind them. And God's going to honor you doing this. Like Jared said multiple times, obedience is God's love language. So even if you're not feeling it, but you know you need to do it, God's going to honor that. And he's going to work with you. Because God wants to partner with you in his truth. So I wanted to take a second and invite you guys to ask Jesus, what voice or lie is loudest in your life right now? You could just prayerfully reflect on that, write it down. Feel free to go through these steps, or take it home and do it later. So I'll give you guys a minute to do that. Okay, so now that you guys have gotten a chance to do that, let's think about our week ahead and how we can apply this to our lives. How can you be obedient in keeping yourself centered in God's truth this week? So see if you can set a goal for yourself. Maybe it's committing a verse to memory or just reading more scripture. Perhaps it's prayer, asking God to reveal lies you are believing, or following this stop model. So take a minute to write it down and share it with the person next to you. I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer over everyone, and then we can wrap up. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this time. Jesus, I pray that you just speak your truth over everyone here. Lord, would you open their ears, open their eyes, and Lord, would you be their safety net? As all the influence of the world, all the influences of the enemy, everything outside of you that tries to come in and influence them, Lord, would you just catch it at the door? Would you catch it at the door and help them to reaffirm in their lives your truth, to keep any bad seeds from taking root in their heart? Lord, we only want your seeds. We only want your goodness and your truth. And Jesus, so I just affirm this desire. I affirm this truth over everyone here. God, would you help us to reject our flesh and our own ways of thinking and our own created truths and the things that sound good to us. God, you know what's best for us. You only have good plans for us, plans for to prosper us. And so we trust in you and we trust in your truth and your truth alone. So Jesus, I pray freedom over every person here. I pray freedom from the lies that have been holding them back in themselves and in your kingdom. And Jesus, I pray for breakthrough. I pray for breakthrough over lies that have had such a deep root. Lord, I just pray that root just be pulled up and cast out in Jesus' name. God, would you replace all of these voids in everyone's hearts with your truth and your love. Just outpour your mercy and grace upon them. And God, in these times of struggle, and in these times of when we know that we recognize that there is a lie coming towards us and we are stuck in old pattern ways of thinking and we are stuck in the effects and consequences of that lie and we don't know how to get out and maybe we forget these steps and we're just not sure what to do, God, may we always rest in the knowledge that we can always surrender it to you. We don't need a script. We don't need specific words. All we need is a surrendered heart, for your power is perfected in our weakness. And God, can we just rest on your ultimate truth? When we have no words and maybe a scripture doesn't come to mind to reaffirm that specific truth, to combat and renounce lies, God, may we just always remember your ultimate truth, Jesus, that you came here, you lived in the flesh, you lived a perfect life. You sacrificed your life for us, freeing us from the effects of sin and death, and that we can always rest in that truth and the truth of your love, and that you always want good for us. You don't want to hold us back. You don't want to torture us. No, that is all the enemy's plans, and we renounce it, and we just affirm your truth and your truth alone, Jesus, over all of our lives. And so, Jesus, I just pray over people that are feeling stuck right now, stuck in a repeated lie, held in bondage by it. And I just pray complete freedom right now in Jesus' name over that lie. Lord, may it be broken, and may you come in and fill that brokenness with your truth and your love. We thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace. And we dedicate ourselves to you and for your glory. And may we uplift one another and be there for one another and build one another up in the truth. That is why you call us together, so that when one of us is weak, the other can be strong. And we thank you, Jesus, for strengthening us in you, and that we can always stand firm in your truth. And you equip us by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this eternal, an amazing gift that you have given us. We are not worthy, but we thank you that you give it to us anyways. I pray blessings over everyone in their week ahead. Lord, may everyone just stand stronger, stand taller, and more confident in you, Jesus, that you are walking with them and hand in hand. And may everyone just walk forward in your truth and your truth alone. In Jesus' name, amen.